The great Puritan preacher John Owen, who translated into the English the commentary on Hebrews written in Latin by John Calvin, said that next to the book of Romans, the most important epistle in all of the New Testament is the epistle of Hebrews. John Calvin himself said that Hebrews should obtain in the church the place and the honor of an invaluable treasure. The great theologian and preacher Adolf Speer was born in Budapest, Hungary, in 1831. He was born to Jewish parents, and he grew up and was in his home in the Jewish faith. However, by the goodness and the grace of God, he and the rest of his family came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And he decided that he wanted to go into the ministry. There was a call of God upon his life to study the scriptures, and he became a minister years and years later. The man who then became a doctor was led to write a commentary on the book of Hebrews. And he said that what attracted to him was that he was attracted and riveted by the majestic style of the epistle. He claimed that the epistle of the Hebrews deserved the same respect as the book of Isaiah. That's big speech, isn't it? When great students of the scriptures say the Hebrews is a majestic book, that similar to that of Romans and Isaiah, it is only right that we should undertake a careful study of this tremendous book together. And that is exactly what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks and months together. But just in case we're uncertain about that, let's just ask some of those vital questions this morning, those why, who, and what questions that we always ask as we begin a new series together. But before we do that, let's just pray. Father, we praise and thank you for your precious word. We thank you for those who have gone before us, who have taken time to, under the power and the authority of your Holy Spirit, not only to write the scriptures, but as well to interpret them into our own language so that we can have understanding of them today. And so as we consider your truth, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing, would be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, Redeemer, and friend. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. So there they are for us this morning. Those first questions that we are going to ask. The why, the who, and the what. Why was it written? Why should we study it? Who wrote it? And what is the major theme of what we're going to be considering together? So first, let's look at this point. Why should we study the book of Hebrews? Well, simply this, and this is what I say at the start of every new series together, is that the book of Hebrews is one of the only 66 written books inspired by God himself. So therefore, it behoves us, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to spend time studying this book and all the other books of God's holy word. Hebrews was quoted as an inspired book of God by all the early church leaders, whether that was Clement of Rome or Irenaeus or Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Eusebius, Jerome, or Augustine. It was part of the canon of listed canon books that belonged to the Bible by all of the major councils, whether that was the Council of Nicaea or Hippo, or whether the early or the later Council of Carthage. It is a book in which God has preserved some incredible manuscripts for us to understand and know that this was from ancient times. There are over 24 very unique early quality scripture manuscripts dated all the way back from to the 3rd century. There are more than 80 small manuscripts. There are 6 lectionaries. There are worship books that all date back to some of those first centuries that all contain the book of Hebrews. Its authority is not in question in any way. When God clearly inspired the writer of Hebrews to write this, he caused him to write those words we find in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." This is the truth of the word of God. And so it behoves us to spend time to understand all these 4,942 words of the book of Hebrews. Did I count them? No. The commentator taught me that. Another reason as well is because Hebrews is a book that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know every single book of the Bible exalts the Lord Jesus Christ in some way. But can I suggest to you this morning, folks, that the book of Hebrews is in a league of its own. It presents a very high Christology. One commentator said that throughout the letter, there is a sustained Christological focus. In other words, a constant look at the Lord Jesus Christ for the church just to consider him. As the author wants to stress the superiority of Christ over angels, over anything lesser being, over anything that could garner the worship of God's people. You know, just that sometimes we need to be reminded what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We need to be reminded of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I've got to confess, there are so many things on a daily basis that can take my heart and mind off the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know what, as well, I've discovered over years of ministry? John, I'm sure you would have discovered this as well, brother. That sometimes there are things that take the attention of God's people away from the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they become idolatrous to us. They take greater precedence in our life than the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what the writer of the Hebrews is saying here is simply this: let the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ be the focus of everyday living. Let the wonderful truth of him so captivate your heart. In Hebrews, we see how the Old Testament types were just a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is far greater than the prophets, far greater than the angels, far greater than Moses, than Joshua, than Aaron, greater than Judaism, greater than the Old Covenant. We'll discover together that the Lord Jesus Christ offers a far greater than all of the great faith people of the Old Testament, as fantastic men and women of the faith they were. They pale before a holy Christ. In fact, the key word that we see time and time again through the entire book is better. Jesus Christ is better, better than the angels. He offers a better hope, a better covenant. He is a better sacrifice, a better possession, a better residency, a better salvation, a better new covenant. And so in Hebrews, we will see Jesus Christ as you have never seen him before. Another reason why we should study the word, the book of Hebrews, is because Hebrews is a book that is important for our doctrine and for our faith. Hebrews doctrinally attacks two main elements of that affect Christianity right the way through the ages, and especially today, that of religious ritualism and that of rigid legalism. Rigid ritualism and rigid legalism. The book takes us to a whole new level in our understanding of grace. Hebrews 2 and verse 9, it says this: "But we do not see Jesus." But we do see Jesus, "who has made lower than the angels for a little while, but now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God we might taste death for everyone." And similarly, Hebrews gives every believer a full assurance of salvation. Hebrews 6 and verse 11, it says this: "We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that you hope for many who be fully so that your hope may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We can attain full salvation in Christ Jesus, the writer of the letter of the Hebrews wants us to know. It will also cause us to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as our motto for this year says. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the author, and the perfecter of our faith. One of the things that I pray for each and every one of us as we go into this new series together is that we will personally be strengthened in our doctrine and of our faith and our understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ as we study Hebrews together. Another reason is because Hebrews is a book that is important to evangelism. It'll stabilize us in our faith. Some of us, when we've done that series in 1 Peter together, remember the challenge in 1 Peter 3:15, I think it is? Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. And some of us actually will the pastor really ask me to come and give a testimony to the hope that I have? We never did that, did we, in the end? I did threaten that we would do. Should we do it now? Do you know, when we study some of these books, like the book of Hebrews, it helps us to cement our faith and to help us in evangelism, because it helps us to understand that no one is outside of the grace of God. No one. He can even save a wretch like me. Let me tell you what Hebrews said in Hebrews 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through faith, because he always lives to intercede for them. If you're going to evangelize others, which we're all called to do, we're all called to be witnesses. We may not all hold the office of an evangelist, but we're all called to be witnesses to the saving power of our God. If we're going to evangelize others, we better get a grasp on this point, that the value of Christ's shed blood has opened the door for the worst of sinners to have access into the very Holy of Holies. That's what we've celebrated this morning. Nearly is this afternoon. Of all that we can have in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse 19, it says this: therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is through his own body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. We can know and we can tell that anyone can be saved by the grace of God. There's no one outside of his grace. In Hebrews, we come face to face with eternal security as well. Hebrews 5 and verse 9, with eternal redemption, Hebrews 9 and verse 12, and a promise of an eternal inheritance, Hebrews 9 and verse 15. I'm getting excited, are you? Because all of these things we're going to be touching on over the next couple of weeks, which are going to help to stabilize us in our faith. When we go through Hebrews, we'll proclaim and we'll be able to defend the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ like that we've never done before. Another reason is because Hebrews is a book that is important for our maturity. Hebrews 5 and verse 11 through into 6 and 30 and 3, it says this. Listen, why is it, he does have a go at them at one point. Why is it that you're still immature? Why is it you're still on the milk of the word? Some of you have walked with the Lord for such a long time, and yet there's no maturity in you. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, the writer says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, instructed by cleansing rites and the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal judgment. The writer says, I want you to move closer. I want you to move deeper in the things of God. To study is to partake in the strong spiritual meat, and as a result, to abide in its teaching. Dr. Vernon McGee said these words: to abide in its teaching, the teaching of Hebrews, is to be led from immaturity to maturity, to the knowledge of Christian truth, and to Christ himself. And finally, why we should study. Another reason is because it is one of those neglected books. Since every word of God is pure, and since the church is responsible for declaring the whole counsel of God, we dare not neglect any book of the Bible. And that's why we go through book by book, expository teaching, so that we can be found faithful. Who wrote Hebrews? Discuss. Well, when all is said and done and all the research is complete on this particular subject, we can only conclude with some of the early fathers who said simply this: only God knows. Only God knows. But what we do know is that it was authored by the Holy Spirit. He was behind the inspiration of this. Now, I've got to confess, I spent hours, in fact, far too many hours looking at all the different arguments, and I had them all presented for us, and we were going to spend at least 40 minutes looking at them this morning, of why it's not this, and who it could be this, and why it's not that, and why it's not this. And was it Paul? Was it Paul and Dr. Luke transcribed it for him? Was it Apollos? Was it... I won't go through the whole list. I'm not convinced that we'll ever know until we're in glory. But what we do know is simply this: is that it is inspired book of God, and it behoves us to study it. When was it written? Well, there are four internal observations that we can make to hopefully understand when it was written. Hebrews 13 and verse 12 gives us a clear indication that it was written when Timothy was still alive, a time when Timothy had actually been in prison for his faith. He was due to be released. So it was around about that time. Also, there's another observation that it was apparently written before the destruction of the temple in AD 70. I say that because of the text, the way it's written. It is definitely written in the present tense, which is a clear indication that temple sacrifices were still happening then. There's another argument as well that apparently it was written before the major outbreak of persecution, and particularly execution of many of the Christians, that happened in around about AD 64. It says there in Hebrews 12 and verse 4, you've not yet suffered the martyrdom. You've not given your life over. You've not yet shed your own blood for the sake of the gospel. So taking all these things and other things into consideration, we can assume that it was written somewhere around about AD 63, 64, around about that time. But it's not a stoning issue. There's nothing heretical about the suggestion of that date. But it was more than likely around about then. It was George Guthrie who observed this, that the situation indicated by the data suggests that it was around about the mid-60s, AD, that is, 60s. To whom was the Hebrews written? Well, it's obvious. It was written to the Hebrews. There's nothing that ever that suggests that the book was not to be called the book to the Hebrews. It was always being recognized as this, established by the church and those early leaders. The one thing that was in question often is whether the book was actually written to some of the believers, the Jewish believers in and around Jerusalem, in Israel itself, or whether it was those who were in the diaspora, those who'd moved away. We're not sure, but that's not a major issue, really. Regardless of what it was, this great book was written to those Jewish believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to non-Jews as well, to you and I today. Because this book will force everyone to examine what they actually believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are four internal facts that we'll observe as we go through it together. The fact is that they have been believers for quite some time, that these are those who receive in the truth, were not just new Christians, but they're those who had walked in the truth and they were growing in their faith. We'll also discover that they had endured some trouble, but they'd suffered for their faith, but not yet given their life over. We'll also discover that some of them yet faced martyrdom, but not yet. And this is the sad fact that we will discover, that for some of them, their faith was dimming. They were beginning to wobble because of the circumstances in life, because of the things that they were living with. They could see the mountain level of persecution. They got to wonder, some of these Jewish believers, hang on, if this is all true, then why is the temple still there? Why is still this temple sacrifices? Why is God allowing these things? Can I tell you what my opinion is? This is my philosophy. Why God allowed those things? Because God is gracious and he is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And even though the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," he still had patience while he waited for those, even in Jerusalem, those of his own, to recognize the truth of the Messiah. And so as his salvific gauge began to move from the Jews who rejected the truth of and shifted onto the Gentiles, as more and more were getting saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the other apostles, as they were moving out and spreading the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, still God wanted those of his own. And so in love and patience and because of his mercy, he allowed these things to continue, but then, AD 70, God said, enough. But until that point, God is gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding loving kindness, but there comes a point where God says, now, I've given you time. And God acts. So, what was the theme as we begin to close this morning? R. Ken Hughes rightly observed that no New Testament book that has more background research than Hebrews, and none has sprawled a greater diversity of opinion, particularly just about the author. The only thing anyone has actually agreed on is the theme of the book. And that is simply this, the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The supremacy and the finality of him. The theme of the book has never been in question. It is the superiority, the supremacy of Christ over everything. Jesus Christ is God's perfect divine Son. Jesus Christ is God's perfect high priest. Jesus Christ is God's perfect high priest and king. And Jesus Christ is God's final sacrifice. You cannot possibly look at Jesus Christ in Hebrews without seeing his deity, without knowing that he is God. With the possibility and the exception of the book of Revelation, no other letter focuses on the present glory and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ like the book of Hebrews. I'm looking forward to studying it with you and focusing our heart and our minds on him. However, we cannot possibly look at Hebrews and not see that Jesus Christ is also coming back. Because that emphasis is written time and time and time again by the writer. And that should be something that should motivate us in our evangelism, in our faith, in every aspect of our Christian life. That sure and certain hope of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? 6, maybe 7 of you. He spoke of these things, of these last days, chapter 1, verse 2. The consummation of the ages, 9, verse 29, Christ appearing a second time, a coming of the day of judgment and a future inheritance. And after God shakes the heavens and the earth, chapter 12, verse 26 and 27, this book causes us to face the Lord Jesus Christ by faith before we face him in person. Praise God that we can bow the knee now. that we don't have to wait, but we can recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, as we're going to sing in a few moments now. And so as we close this morning, very simply, some practical things for us to answer. Do you really believe Jesus Christ is God, the creator and the final arbiter of all things? That's what we're going to hear. That's what we're going to answer as we look at this book together. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is your personal high priest? Is he the one who has interceded on your behalf before a holy God? Do you completely trust in his sacrificial work to save you from all of your sins? Yeah, but I'd like to add a bit of my stuff on there as well. You know, some of my good works, some of my faith. No. Complete sacrifice to save us. Do you focus on Jesus Christ that you reflect a new life which has moved from far from the old? In other words, some of those old things, have we died to them? Or are we still living, clinging onto some of them? Do you propose to lay hold of the better things that are offered to us in Christ Jesus? A relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, let me assure you, is better than any other relationship that you can ever have. We see together that some of these Hebrew believers were beginning to shrink back from their faith and their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the letter of the Hebrews was written to encourage them and cause them to focus on the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I know sometimes that some of us are growing weary in our walk. And it's not easy to stand for Jesus in our day. And so I want us to take a journey together through the book of Hebrews and see if you don't come to believe that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is superior than anything else. And through it, that you will be strengthened in your faith and your knowledge of him. The knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord